book of Ephesians, and I'd like to read the first chapter, and if we have time, I'd like to read a few verses in the sixth chapter, the end. We know that the book of Ephesians was written from the Roman prison. It's often been said that Satan, he endeavored to shut the mouth of the Apostle Paul by having him locked up in prison. But when he was locked up in prison, his plans were thwarted, and we have these wonderful epistles that we have to the Ephesians, and Colossians, and Philippians. And his plans were altogether thwarted. We know that God will have his way, and his purposes can never fail. And so we have this book of Ephesians given to us, written by the Apostle Paul from the Roman prison. May we just read the chapter together and we'll consider some of these precious verses in connection with it. For us, it should really encourage our hearts today. We know that Ephesians is divided in the first three chapters, brings before us our standing before God, which can never be affected. No, nothing can touch our standing. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and nothing can touch that standing. But then there is a walk that is should conform with that standing, and we have that brought before us in the last three chapters, and that's the reason I would like to read, if possible, the last few verses of the sixth chapter. I won't read it now. When we go over this, we'll consider that later. Now we notice that Paul addresses himself to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, those who were the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, that takes in every one of us here who are the children of faith, brought into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to see how the apostle, so often he uses the full title of our blessed Lord, giving him his rightful due, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've often spoken of the seven jewels in the jewel case when we receive the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to go over them again this afternoon for the benefit of some, perhaps, who have not noticed them. In the third verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, as it were, Christ is that jewel case, and in that jewel case there are the jewels. Well, we have no doubt we received the first blessing, we received the second blessing, and we've received every blessing. All the blessings are in Christ Jesus. But the apostle here, I believe he brings before us seven, which is a perfect number, and I like to think of them as jewels in that jewel case. When we receive the Savior, we have those jewels. And so in the first instance, we have in the fourth verse, "According as he hath chosen us in him." God has chosen us in him. We're chosen of God. Now, beloved saints of God, how wonderful it is to know that you and I have been chosen of God. How far back? Oh, a way back. Yes, way back in eternity, God saw you and me in Christ Jesus. Yes, and that should encourage our heart. But there may be someone here in this room who has not got this assurance, does not know the Lord Jesus as their precious Savior. And I would not want to go any further in this meeting without giving a gospel appeal to anyone here who knows not Christ as their precious Savior. Beloved, we want to bring before you, unsaved one, if there be such, that God loves your precious soul. He values your precious soul. The Lord Jesus could say, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" My friends, if you're unsaved today, God values your precious soul. The Lord Jesus valued it so much that he went to Calvary to make propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And that's what he has done. But we who know him, oh, we're in the family now, and these are some family secrets that you and I can enjoy as being a part of the family. God has communicated these things to us through the Apostle Paul, the risen Lord Jesus himself communicating them to him, the ascended, glorified man there on high. Blessed be the God and Father, the fourth verse, according as he hath chosen us. Isn't that a lovely jewel? We just take that, open that jewel box, and we take out that jewel to know that I, that you, beloved saint of God, have been chosen in God, in Christ before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Yes, that's the nature that's been given to us. We have a holy nature when we're born again. We're born from above. We have that holy nature indwelling us and without blame before him in love. Then the second we have in the fifth verse is that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now we're chosen by God. We're predestinated by the Father because we're brought into the family as in adoption, as we have before us here, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. We're children by adoption, by the Father. Oh, how that wonderful relationship that you and I can look up and call God our Father. Yes, what a wonderful privilege it is. Years ago, there was a dear man walking down St. James Street in Montreal. That's the financial district. I don't mind telling who it was. It's our dear brother, Mr. Stanley McDowell. And as he walked along, he met a man, a Christian man, whom he knew, who was interested in some of the financial interests there. And he said to him, with all the crowds that were going by, he said, "What's the good word this morning?" "Oh," he said, "the good word is that I can look up and call God my Father, that God is my Father, and the Lord Jesus is my Savior, and heaven is my home." Yes, in spite of all about us, all we know that we have a home above from all defilement, free a mansion which eternal love prepared our rest to be, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise, sixth verse, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, there's another jewel. Accepted. Oh, God sees you and me in Christ. And when he sees Christ, oh, he sees perfection. Yes, he sees that blessed one, and he can only see you and me in Christ, because that's where we are. We're in Christ Jesus, as we have in the third verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Well, all this came about through faith in Christ Jesus. Believing in that finished work of Calvary, God has brought us into that wonderful place of blessing. The seventh verse, in whom we have redemption. Oh, isn't that a wonderful jewel? To know that you and I are redeemed. Redemption is sweet, but the saying goes, redemption is sweet, but redeemed is sweeter. To know that you and I have been redeemed. And how? By the precious blood of Christ. This brings the cross before us. That precious Savior who went there to Calvary, and how he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And how he went, how all God's waves and billows of judgment rolled over his blessed head, and how he exhausted that judgment in those 3 hours, the infinite, eternal Son of God, he exhausted the judgment, and now he laid down his life. Oh, but God raised him from the dead, and through him, now risen Christ, God can bring this wonderful salvation to you and me, at no expense to his righteousness or his holiness. His love can go out to whosoever will, as we had read to us this morning. In whom we have redemption through his blood, Oh, isn't that a wonderful word? Redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, there's another jewel. To know that your sins are gone, that God doesn't see your sins anymore. They're behind his back. They're down in the depth of the sea. God can't see them, and you and I can't see them because they're gone. That's our standing before God. And according to the riches of his grace. Oh, yes, it's according to his riches, how rich he is. Yes, the Lord Jesus, we read in the 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 9, verse, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, though for your sakes he became poor. Yes, for your sakes, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And so we have that wonderful word, the riches of his grace, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. God has revealed the mystery of his will to us, taken us into his confidence. The Lord Jesus could speak in the 15th chapter of John, he said, I have called you friends. Whatsoever the Father hath told me, I have told you. Yes, whatever has been revealed to him, he revealed it to us as friends. And so here in this verse it says, here, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That, in the 10th verse, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That verse has been often spoken of as the key verse of the Bible, because it brings before us God's purposes for this world. Yes, we have the two, the heavenly company and the earthly company brought in here. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Yes, Christ is the center of it all. Yes, he'll be the center of that throne up there in the glory, as we have in the 5th chapter of Revelation. He'll be the center of that of those down here on the earth during the millennium. And you and I, beloved, will be with him. We'll never be separated from him throughout those countless ages. Yes, he says, gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The 11th verse, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, there's another jewel, an inheritance for you and me. Oh, yes, we have an inheritance up there in the glory. We haven't got it yet, but we have the assurance of it, as we'll see a little later on. Yes, we know there's an inheritance, and Peter speaks of it as an inheritance that's kept for us up there, and we're being kept for it down here. Isn't that wonderful? In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The 12th verse, that we. Now, the Apostle Paul is referring to his own people, the Christian, those who believe the gospel, the Jews to whom the gospel was preached first. And he uses the pronoun we. He says we, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. They first trusted in Christ because the gospel was first preached to them. And that's the way the Lord would have it. Paul spoke to his own, as we read in the 13th chapter of Acts, he brings his first sermon to the Jews, he brings before them there, and he said the gospel was preached to them first. Peter preached to his own in the first part of Acts 2, and we know they heard the gospel first before the Gentiles. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye, now you notice the pronoun is changed, ye Gentiles, he's writing to the Ephesians, and they're Gentiles, they were without hope, as we see in the 2nd chapter, they were without hope and without God in the world, they were idol worshippers. Oh, but now they've been brought into association with Christ, and it says here that in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the glorious gospel, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There is another jewel that we have in Christ Jesus. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus told the disciples when he left. He said, if I go away, the Comforter will come. And he promised the Comforter. I might turn to the 14th of John. I don't want to misquote it. I think I have. The 14th of John, just for half a minute. The 14th of John and the... the 16th verse is, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And so this, the Holy Spirit was that which the Lord Jesus promised when he went away, the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful position, what a wonderful place of privilege that you and I, as Gentiles, sinners, without hope and without God in the world, have been brought into through faith. Well, we know that the Gentiles and the Jews, they were blessed in the same way, but they ceased. The 16 Gentiles, the Jews, when they believed the gospel, they were no longer Jews, but they became members of the Church of God. Now, in the 14th verse, we read, which is the earnest? Now, that was what I was referring to a little earlier. Which is the earnest of our inheritance? Now, we haven't got the inheritance yet, but we have, as it were, a pledge for the inheritance. That's the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, that brings before us the Lord's coming, when these bodies of humiliation will be changed, as Paul speaks to the Philippians, and fashioned like unto his body of glory. The dead in Christ raised first, then we which are alive remain caught up to be with him in the air. Friends, how wonderful it is that these bodies of humiliation are going to be changed, and with each one just look like Christ. We'll have bodies just like our blessed Savior. What a hope this is, how it should encourage and cheer our hearts on our journey home, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's the apostle again, bringing before us that he gives thanks for them, but he makes mention of them in his prayers. And I wonder just what kind of a prayer list the apostle must have had as he was on his knees there in that prison, how he went over each assembly where he had visited, where he had preached the word and ministered this wonderful gospel which he could speak of as my gospel. Oh, beloved, how he bore those up in prayer. And what was it he prayed for in the 17th verse? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, God wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of himself. He wants us to progress in our Christian pathway. And so he says, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Christ. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your hearts, if you like, Mr. Darby, I believe, translates it, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his. Now we have his inheritance in the saints. Oh, beloved, we've had our inheritance brought before us, but don't think that our blessed Lord Jesus is not looking forward to that day too. Oh, he's looking forward to having you and me with himself, when he will then enjoy his inheritance in the saints. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, that's how he values each member of the body of Christ. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Oh yes, our blessed Lord Jesus is able, as it tells us in Philippians 3, the end of Philippians 3, he is able to subdue all things unto himself, and he will another day, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, beloved, we have a living Christ to speak of today. We have one whom God has so highly exalted, given a place in heaven there above all angels. Someone has said he passed by angels twice. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death to take upon himself human form. But then we see him passing by angels. God highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, above angels, yes, and wonderful truth too. He's taking us up with him above angels, because we're seated with him there already in heavenly places in himself. It says here in the 21st verse, far above principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Well, we know that hasn't fully had its full fulfillment yet, but it is about to take place. Yes, it tells us in the second chapter of Hebrews, it says in the 8th verse, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We're waiting for that day. Oh, but we see Jesus. Yes, he's up there now. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man or for everything. Beloved, the work has been all completed. John the Baptist should speak there in the first chapter of his gospel in the 29th verse. He could say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, beareth away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus, yes, he accomplished that work, which will have its full fulfillment another day. We sing that hymn sometimes, all taint of sin shall be removed, all evil done away, and we shall dwell with God's beloved through God's eternal day. Well, we have this verse here, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Oh, just think of it, he's our head. We don't look at the Lord Jesus as king. We know that he is the coming king. He's the head. I've often mentioned this story. Perhaps I have here. Some of my Tacoma brethren will bear with me if I mention it again. But years ago when the Queen George and Queen Elizabeth, Mother Elizabeth it is, came to Ottawa, they went through Canada and visited the many places in Canada from coast to coast. They came back to Ottawa and said their farewell, and I can recall reading the Queen's speech about the King and herself. She said, the King and I want to thank our subject for all the kindness which we received during their sojourn in Canada. But a little further down in the speech, she said, my husband and I, my husband and I have enjoyed every hour with the Canadian people. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? Yes, she could speak of King George as the king, not her king. He was her husband. And so we speak of the Lord Jesus as our head. He is our head, and we're his members of his body. And one of these days, he's going to have us for himself, put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, we've had in this first chapter our standing before God, as I'll say again, and nothing can touch us. But you and I have responsibilities to God, and if we're to read the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapter, we would see what our responsibility is to these things. In the first verse of the sixth chapter, we would have children brought before us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so on, servants, a little further down, be obedient to them that are your masters. And it speaks about the masters in the ninth verse. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, and so forth. And now in the tenth verse, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God wants you and me to be strong. And how can we be strong if we don't eat the proper food? It was mentioned to me just the other day that a certain one was poorly, and if they only could have an appetite for their daily food, they would get strong. Well, you and I, beloved saints of God, we need to have our appetites with it. Because we are so apt to become sluggish in our eating of the precious Word of God. He wants us to feed on these things, and how do we do it? Oh, we feed on it by reading the Word. And we read, and the more we read, the appetite will grow. Someone has said, the more we eat, you know, our stomach gets larger, and we need more food to fill up that empty space. And so it is with things, with the spiritual things. If we read the Word of God, increase our appetite, we won't be able to do without it. Oh, we'll want to have these precious things before us. Oh, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Now God has provided an armor for you and me. The whole armor, not part of it, but all the armor. He mentions it twice. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, we know in Joshua's time, Joshua fought against the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all the different enemies in the land. And they were of flesh and blood. Oh, but God has told us now that you and I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, far more subtle than an earthly enemy in that respect, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is the defense that God has given us to put on the whole armor. Then the 13th verse he repeats, wherefore take unto you, not only put it on, but take unto you. There's an initiative that we must do. But take that armor, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There's no provision made here for turning back or for retreating. No, the armor is for the front. And there's everything for the front, with exception of the knees, and because we can pray. Yes, and that's one part of the armor. So it says, stand therefore, having your loins. Your loins, that would take in our affections, would it not? Girt about with truth. All we know that brings before us the Lord Jesus. Truth, oh yes, it's Christ. That blessed one, he, the Lord Jesus, could speak of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to feed upon Christ daily, and having our loins, our affections, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, I believe this breastplate would bring before us practical righteousness. As you and I are going through this scene, we have an enemy that will trip us up. And those about us who know not Christ, they watch us. We're the Bible. We're their Bible, as it were. Known and read of all men. They know that if we're Christians, they know if our walk is real or not. And so how important it is to have this practical righteousness day by day as we journey along. Because if we do not have this practical righteousness, anything we might say will have no effect upon them. Because they'll see, well, he doesn't practice what he preaches. And so we need to have this practical righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That brings before us the power of peace-giving character to our walk and ways. And so the gospel of peace, it speaks peace to the troubled soul. Those who know not Christ, when they hear the gospel brought before them, when they believe, they have that peace. That peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ it belongs to all those who put their trust in Him. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, that's confidence in God. We've proved them. I know my brethren here, old and young, have proved our God in many instances. And as we prove Him, it gives us more confidence to go back. Yes, just like someone gave an illustration, I put myself in here as the one who is in need of money, and I go to a friend and I ask for some money, and he gives it to me, and then I get in bad straits again, and I go back to him, and each time I go, he willingly looks after me. Well, you know, my confidence is built up because of what he has done and what he's still doing for me. Well, that's exactly what it is with this shield of faith, which he tells us to put on. Put on the shield of faith, which is confidence in God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Beloved, we have an enemy that knows our weakness. He knows the weakness of every one of us. Perhaps my weakness isn't yours, or yours isn't mine. But let me tell you, beloved, Satan knows our weak points. And he's able to shoot those arrows divide and bring in unhappiness in our lives. Yes, and so how good it is to have the shield of faith on, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. Well, the helmet, you know, is for the head. And that controls our thinking and controls our thoughts. And it gives us that assurance of salvation for boldness. Oh, it gives us that holy boldness when we have that helmet of salvation on. And then the sword of the Spirit. Now that's a wonderful expression, the sword of the Spirit. The two are brought together here. The sword, yes, of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How important that is. Oh, beloved, the Spirit of God can't bring to your remembrance or mind something we've never read or enjoyed. No, but if we read the Word of God and meditate upon it, we get into some circumstance and, you know, the Spirit of God will bring before us some precious scripture that will help us. Yes, and perhaps help us in the very difficulty that we're passing through. And so he tells us here, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we had seven. Jewels in the first chapter, showing our standing in Christ Jesus, which can never be touched. But we have seven parts of the armor here. Oh, God has made provision, and the seventh one is the 18th verse, and that's prayer. Yes, it's the reading of the Word and prayer, talking to God. When we read the Word of God, the Lord, God is speaking to you and me. Yes, He's speaking to us. But when we pray, we're speaking to Him, and we have communion with Him, praying always, not sometimes, But always. Now doesn't mean to say that you and I have to be on our knees all the time. That would be impossible. Oh, no, but it's the attitude of dependence upon Him for every step of the journey. And, beloved, if we cast all our care upon Him, does He care? For He careth for you. Yes, beloved, He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to carry us home. And He wants us to go home in full sail. He doesn't want us just to limp into port. He wants us to go in there with our sails unfurled and going in on our own power, as it were. And so He's provided this armor that we may withstand the evil one in this evil day through which you are passing, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes, we can take in all saints. Beloved, we're bound up in that one bundle of life. Just to think of it, we can, in our prayer, we can take in each one. It's nice to mention in our prayer various ones that we've been in contact with, but oh, we don't need to leave anyone out. We can. The Lord knows every individual. The hairs of your head are all numbered. Oh, yes, He's got infinite knowledge of you and me, and He would have us to take all these things to Him in prayer, and for all saints, then He says, and for me. Oh, we think of the apostle in prison, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known, oh, what is it? The mystery of the gospel, this wonderful mystery that Christ and we are one, that we've been brought into association with Christ, members of His body, yes, members of that building, as we find in this in the end of the first chapter. Yes, that building which is in progress now, the Lord Jesus, the chief cornerstone, as Peter tells us, and we're members of His body, we're stones in the building. Oh, can we be lost again? Oh, no. He's given us assurance in His own, the Lord Jesus, when He was down here, He could say, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so, beloved, He tells us now that we're members of His body. We're stones in this building. Oh, can we ever be lost? No. The whole building would have to fall down before we could be lost. But oh, He's doing the building, and it's going to be a perfection. That's open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus. Well, we remember Tychicus in Colossians. It speaks of him as being one of that assembly in Colossae. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So the apostle was in prison, and he couldn't communicate with them himself. So he had to write this letter, and he was having Tychicus take it to them, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your heart. Oh, the apostle had the welfare of the assembly on his heart, and so that he might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Oh, that's what we need, beloved. That's the oil, you know, that smooths the troubled waters, is that grace. And every one of us need that grace day by day. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. May the Lord bless His precious word to His own glory and honor.